Behind his convoy leader, Lonnie pushed his wag to the max, keeping hard on Corell's tail as they roared through the narrow entrance to the arena.
Heads up, we're about to hit it!
His crew behind him took up positions. This wag was an armored personnel carrier in which the Hellbenders had cut holes large enough for heavy-duty blasters to be placed. It was a small circumference, but with wags all around, the important thing was to focus on what you could see and leave the rest to your compatriots. Jack, Dean, and Kath were lined up down one side of the vehicle, trying to compensate for the wag's erratic motion as it rode roughshod over the rough terrain. The blasters were all AK-47s, the Kalashnikovs grouped together. On the far side of the wag, Danny, Doc, and the other crew were all equipped with H&Ks, but they stood idle, waiting for the wag to come back on the return run before they sighted and began their assault. The wag jostled them hard. Dean took his eye away from the sight to try to clear it of the stinging grit that was misting his vision.
Hot pipe! This'll take my eyeball out before I have a chance to pick off anyone out there!
Aim for Doc! Fire quick! Dan, clean eyes!
Jack ignored the stinging in his own eyes in order to pull cleanly on the trigger and take out some of the sec firing at them, for good measure slamming a couple of slugs into the side of a wag whose armoring and protection was minimal.
Whitey's right! Ignore the pain! It's much more satisfying to see those bastards go down!
Kath grinned as one of her shots took out a sec man, his head splitting like a ripe melon, visible even through the dust storm. The blood and brain from his exploding skull was absorbed into the swirling dust as his body slumped.
Kath!
Two slugs squeezed through the gap around Kath's AK-47. The first one caught her on the cheekbone, exposing the bone and teeth of the jaw, before the bone seemed to splinter and powder in front of them. Her head jerked upward, the second slug hitting home at her temple, ripping flesh and hair from her head. And then she fell backward.
When Rudy finds out she's gone, he'll go shit mad. He'll probably take him out on his own. Don't stop firing, people!
What do you mean you can't drive one of these? Didn't your daddy ever give you a wag as a present like your brothers?
Of course he didn't, you stoop. I'm a girl, not a boy. Shit, you worked at the palace, or so you say. You know what he was like. Girls are for fucking and boys get the toys.
A look clouded across Claudette's face suddenly, as though the argument was suddenly forgotten.
Yeah, you're right. My ma always said that Red was like that.
Aisha stopped short when she heard this. There were few people left alive who referred to Baron L. Jorgensen as Red. A cold shiver ran down her spine as she suddenly realized something.
Your mother?
Yeah. She ended up slit up the middle in a gaudy house by some drunk asshole. But before that, she'd been one of his regular sluts before he got bored. That's how come I'm here. And she told me how he got the name of Red and how come people don't use it anymore unless they want to die.
Red, like the blood of the women when he finished them. That would happen to your mother?
Maybe. If not him, then some wise ass who was working for him or wanted to be him and knew who my ma was. She always said there were only so many sluts, and every man gets around to them sooner or later.
So you're my sister?
Yeah. Me and maybe half the women under 20 in this wag. Don't get stoop on us now. We still need someone to drive this fucking bus. Can anyone hear?
Nah, Aisha's right. None of us here know shit about these things.
Boy, we are truly fucked. More than if we'd let those assholes from Summerfield get their paws on us.
Maybe not. Come and ride shotgun, Claudette. You're the best shot we've got.
Aisha went past Claudette and climbed into the front of the wag, ignoring the blaster fire that was erupting all around and could easily come through the windshield.
Look, I might not know exactly how to drive one of these things, right? But I must know something. I've sat next to sec men driving, to my brothers, to my asshole father. I've seen these stupid things being driven all my life. It can't be that hard to work it out.
Hell of a time to start learning.
Never better, babe.
JB was far from happy. Corell's strategy was already falling to pieces, and he and Mildred were a long way from the rest of their companions. The only way to get out of this was to get back with the people they could trust. At least that way they had a chance with people they knew they could rely upon. Not like here, not like now.
We're fucked!
Tell me about it!
Damn it!
The armorer straightened his wag and headed toward the entrance to the arena. Ahead of him, he could see the Summerfield convoy from the rear. The front of the convoy was lost in a swirl of dust, but he could see Sekhmet running back to their wags, and those who were already mounted turn around, blasters at the ready. He could also see the Sekhmet with the homemade flamethrowers.
Get into position and hold on. This is going to be a little tricky.
The Sekhmet on the flamethrower nearest the approaching wag swung the contraption toward the oncoming Hellbender's vehicle and attempted to open up.
Dark night!
The ramshackle weapon threw up a ball of flame and a dense cloud of oily smoke that made it even harder to see. The flamethrower shook and then tore into pieces.
Shit!
The entire wag exploded. The armorer threw the wheel, swinging it as far as he dared, hoping that the majority of the debris would avoid damaging their wag. The vehicle shook as lumps of metal thudded into it, driving it toward the rock and making him swing the wheel back to try to compensate.
Sweet Lord, will you look at that?
The Sekhmet on the exploding wag were thrown across the arena, one of them thudding against the wag with a force equal to that of some of the metal debris. Their clothes and skin were covered in flaming fuel, arcs of flame in the air, cutting through the dust and poor light to show where they landed.
Heads up! More ahead!
More Sekhmet were now scrambling to their feet to meet the oncoming assault head-on. JB righted his course, and the Hellbenders and Mildred armed the blasters, ready to start firing as soon as the flame and smoke cleared and they could see anything. Unfortunately, the next Summerfield wagon line was able to fire first. The flamethrower crew was elevated just above the smoke that was still pouring from the ruined wag. Swinging around, they fired up their weapon. The great yellow and red gout of flame roared from the barrel, scorching the side of JB's wag and heating up the interior so that the blasters on the inside became almost too hot to touch.
Shit! What the fuck are they doing?
Take him out, Millie!
Mildred slipped her arms out of her jacket and used the sleeves to insulate her hands against the heat. She moved the floor-mounted blaster until the sight caught the top of the enemy wag. A short burst of fire from her drum-mounted machine blaster shattered the fuel tank for the flamethrower and ripped a line of holes through the flesh of the Sekhmet standing by it, throwing him backward off the roof of the wag as the fuel ignited and shot a line of fire along the feed line of the flamethrower, exploding it from its mounting on the roof of the wag. But there were also Sekhmet both in the wags and climbing under the wag's roofs, armed with Uzis, Heckler and Kochs, and AK-47s. They were starting to fire on the Hellbender's convoy. Heavy-duty blaster fire thudded into the armored sides of the wags as the Hellbenders used their mounted blasters to return fire. It was here that they had the advantage. There may be less of them in terms of wags and manpower, but they knew from their wreck that the wags from Eachville weren't entirely armored. Eachville's wag stock was low, and some of their trade items would make the use of an armored wag impossible for a quick turnaround. The Hellbenders could take advantage to cut down wag and man numbers if they hit hard and fast. It was then that both Baron Al and Baron Hutter changed their own agendas and made the entire matter a great deal more complicated.
Talk! What the fuck is going on?
I don't know, Baron. We appear to be under attack of some kind.
Hutter fixed the Sekhmet with a long, hard stare, for a moment forgetting the battle that was raging outside.
This is something to do with you, you son of a gaudy slut, and I'll find out when we get back home.
If.
Hutter said nothing for a moment. It seemed to stretch forever. The inside of the wag was like a calm eye of the storm that raged around them.
Oh, we will get back. And what's more, we'll take the women with us. Screw the rest of this. We're going to grab them and get the fuck out of here.
How am I going to relay orders to the rest of the crew, then?
Hutter looked behind him at the two Sekhmet who were manning his wag. They had their attention fixed on the outside, flinching at the slugs that hit the armor plating and glass, but the Baron knew that they had been listening intently to the discussion in the front of the wag.
There's four of us. In case it escapes your notice, those sluts don't have any sec with them, and Baron Al and his boys are occupied with the assholes attacking them from the other direction. We just break ranks here, ram into the middle of the convoy, scattering everyone in their surprise, grab the girls and get the fuck out.
And that's a plan?
Got anything better, Elias?